between your luggles, a look at what's going on inside your head with Gail and Jay on BBC Radio Leeds.
Well, hello, welcome to the show. You're listening to BBC Radio Leeds. Now, this is something we've talked about quite a lot on the show. Happy Valley Pride have a wonderful mental health support system. So I urge you to go and have a look at their website, because they do all sorts in this area. And that is largely because there are some really horrible statistics about feeling depressed and suicidal and isolated. And we're talking about the LGBTQI+ community. So what's going on here? Why is it important to get the right message out? Well, what is the message? Well, let's talk to somebody who knows all about this. It's my guest who I've been talking to all week about all these kinds of issues to do with that fatty tissue in our noggins. I'm joined by Jay Gardier, who works in mental health, learning and development for Leeds Mind. Hi, Jay.
Hi.
So LGBTQI+ and mental health. Some of the statistics surrounding this, as I was just saying, sort of depression, suicide, feeling isolated, they are staggering and they are upsetting. What's going on here specifically?
Yeah, it's deeply worrying. When you just look at some of the statistics, it's what's known as the strands of inequality. So what that really means is it's not a guarantee, but there's certain groups in society that are going to have a higher propensity or a higher likelihood of having challenges with their emotional health, and LGBTQIA+ would absolutely be part of that. But included in that also would be other strands of inequality. So things like age or faith or race, all of that sits in this spectrum in terms of it's not a guarantee that you're going to have some challenges with your emotional health. But the nature of those things would mean that there's a higher likelihood, there's an ever so slightly higher propensity that perhaps someone has a challenge with emotional health.
And is it connected to a couple of issues? Is it around being able to be yourself around family, not being accepted, maybe not accepting who you are, yourself? Is there a lot going on here?
Yeah, 100%. People who identify as LGBTQIA+ are 2 or 3 times more likely to experience mental health difficulty than their straight or cisgendered peers. And that's really frightening as a statistic, just in that kind of in the realms of where that is because of identity. And that's often where we have our acronym, the LGBTQIA+, which has got longer and longer over the years, because each one of those letters is a sense of identity and representation. And that's the most important part of that acronym, is that not only is it a sense of community, it's saying that you are valid and that you're being represented. And I think that's a really important thing. But that's a life's work for the individual to get to that point. Because if you think about, as an example, LGBTQIA+ homelessness and drug addictions and all those, substance misuse and all those kind of things sit in that spectrum of at the point where someone has perhaps not been accepted by family and therefore has left home at a very early age. That then means that there's lots of other socioeconomic barriers that are then going to be presented to that individual.
And is somebody in this community more likely to also not want to get help? Are there seemingly barriers there where you can't say, I'm feeling this way because of this? Is there a lot of let's just bottle it all up?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the kind of inclusion piece, especially in society and workplaces, is definitely a piece of the puzzle that is needing to be polished, if that makes sense. So it's kind of helping people to get better at those ends of inclusion, especially things like trans inclusion. And because they're quite topical at the moment, it's kind of going, well, should someone feel that they're not being accepted in the workplace because of how policy is, or using things like heteronormative posters or events? And they kind of, like an example of that would be you and the missus can come along. Well, hang on a minute. Yeah. What you've done there is gone under assumption, when someone may not have chosen to say in work that they don't fit within that binary mode.
I imagine that there are some people who feel that how is this still a problem, in 2022? But, having not grown up with those complicated thoughts perhaps and processes and never felt, in any way negative about people in this community. That's probably quite easy for me to say, but we just always feel like we've come such a long way, and we feel like we're all right. We're all okay with it. We're all right. But actually, that doesn't stop an individual feeling hurt and isolated.
Yeah, 100%.
So what should they do? You know, if they are feeling not just down, not just confused, but actually seriously depressed about how they're feeling.
Seek the right help from an appropriate human, an appropriate adult, someone who is the correct person. So it could be something outside of the realms of your very close circle. Again, it could be speaking to a GP, someone at work could be, because there's often, what are they called? EDIG groups. So equality, diversity and inclusion groups often are kind of set up part of people support or HR teams. There's often that strand there that you can link into usually via your work intranet. So it's perhaps speaking to someone on those areas. If you think actually your workplace isn't entirely brilliant at it, you could then be the advocate and the flag flyer for it. If you think your workplace isn't entirely brilliant at it, then there's nothing stopping you being the person that then starts raising the questions and asking the right people to start becoming a little bit more inclusive.
What about being a supporter, an ally?
There we are. That's it. So lots of people now are even putting on their email stamps and saying, you know, I'm an ally. So it's becoming part of the process of culturally shifting this into the right direction. Because you're right, you know, the question often asked is, why are we still, how is this still an issue? We're in 2022.
Two? I
couldn't remember what year it was. But, you know, we've got to remember that it's not that long ago. It's in living memory for some that it was illegal. In 1972, for example, you could have been sectioned against your will, being given treatment, often electric shock therapy. Some hospitals even had one set of teeth ripped out for people because they were considered a danger to yourself and other patients for being gay. That was in 1972.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind, 1967 was decriminalisation.
Yeah, and also, country. I mean, yeah. I remember a wonderful teacher saying to me when I was in sixth form, and you can tell how old I am, she says, you know, we're not allowed to talk about homosexuality. We're not allowed to promote it. We're not, and because she was a very cool teacher, she was actually all right talking to us about it, but at the same time, she probably shouldn't have been. Yeah. It's like, and that was that's in my memory.
Yeah. 100% hands tied by Section 28 and the Thatcherite version of family values and moral values, and you don't talk about alternative families is what it was called. Alternative that families. Sounds like it's a choice when it's not a choice. It's who you are as an individual, but that could have meant one generation prior to Section 28 that you could have been locked up for it or sectioned. But we're looking at this just from a Western culture perspective.
That's true.
About other parts of the world? Pushed off buildings, shot at dawn, you know, the concentration camps for gay people in Chechnya, things like that, and they're still open. And this is their words, not mine. Very successful as a social cleansing experiment. Very successful.
Wow.
Because people are hunted down like a pack of dogs for being on dating apps, for example. They're hunted down and then put to work, and then their paperwork just disappears. Frightening.
Yeah.
People are pushed off buildings, shot at dawn, because of culturally what part of the globe or what dot on the globe you happen to live in is completely figured out by the culture of that place. And we're looking at this from a very Western perspective, but, you know, what's happening in the rest of the world?
Right.
There's a little bit of a dark side to that rainbow.
There is. Wow. Lots to think about there. And certainly we can't talk about all of it in a 5 or 10 minute bit, but Jay Gardy, as ever, thank you very much for your time. We'll do this again tomorrow.
Thank you. A pleasure.
This is Between Your Lug Holes, a look at what's going on inside your head with Gail and Jay on BBC Radio Leeds. For more information, head over to leedsmind.org.uk.